This podcast is all about small business in St. Petersburg, Florida, how the business owners got started, how they built their business, and how they serve our community. I'm Brett Bittner, and I'm the host of Hustleberg, and I started Beyond Your Side Hustle, a marketing firm where we help budding entrepreneurs go beyond their side hustles and ditch their 9-to-5s. As the founder of a small business here in St. Pete myself, I love meeting and talking with fellow small business owners. Lucky for you, I also like to record those conversations for you to listen to. If you find anything of value in this episode, I encourage you to subscribe to the podcast, because there are probably more nuggets in other episodes, both past and upcoming. It would also be great if you rate and review the episode to let us know what you got out of the conversation. If you have a question about marketing, building your brand, or operating your small business that you'd like to have answered on a Q&A episode, please visit beyondyoursidehustle.com/podcastquestion to submit it. Welcome back to the Hustleberg Podcast for episode number 34. This episode is a Q&A episode with questions from you about podcasting. 2 weeks ago, in episode 32, I asked for questions and you guys delivered. The first Q&A episode on podcasting was mainly focused on how a podcast could help your business, how you could use it as pillar content for all the content you create for your brand, and a bit of discussion about video podcasts versus audio only. In this episode, it seems to be a little more focused on how you can make money from podcasting, and we'll jump into that here in just a second. Our first question is really a two-parter, but I'm going to take the first aspect first in this question from Steve, and then I will expand upon it in the second part of his question. I've kind of split them up so that it would be a little easier to digest. Steve asks if you can make money from podcasting, and then his follow-up is, how? So to tackle the first part of your question, Steve, the short answer is yes. You can absolutely make money podcasting, and we're going to address the various ways that it's done later in the episode. But the most important thing for you to know is that it takes time to be in a position to make money from podcasting. Now, before we look into how we can make that money podcasting, let's take a look at what you're going to need to have in place before you even consider monetization. And basically, it all comes down to the success and popularity of your podcast. So how are we going to get there? First, you need to be able to plan flexibly. And so you're going to define how you will build and serve a community by focusing on topics that are at the intersection of your expertise and their interest. Your podcast focus shouldn't be so narrow that content creation will be an issue, and it also shouldn't be so broad that no one knows what to expect when they listen to an episode. This is a delicate balance oftentimes, and because listeners aren't likely to appreciate an episode on Earth's tectonic plates when they expect to find out or expect one about whale migration patterns based on previous episodes. So once you've zeroed in on your topic, you probably need to address the format of the podcast to best serve the listeners. Now, your format includes presentation, frequency, and runtime. When it comes to presentation, how are you going to present this podcast to your audience? Will you host it by yourself in a solo way, like the Q&A episodes are here? Will you have guest hosts on so that it's a roundtable conversation with varying people, or maybe even some steady guest hosts for that conversation? Will you interview people? Taking a look at what Hustleberg does, our format differs for the interview episodes, which you hear the odd numbered ones. Those are interviewed episodes I record with a local business owner to discuss their entrepreneurial journey. For Q&A episodes like this one and all of the even numbered ones, I generally record them alone, although you may recall episode number 28, where we talked with Brian and Teresa Ott from A Fearless Venture about things to be looking for in your business website, because they are a duo and they have far more expertise about that issue than I do. I thought it was best to have a roundtable discussion specific to that Q&A episode. Now, the other thing when it comes to format is your frequency. Planning your podcast will also determine a frequency that best serves your intended audience, and it's not going to be the same for each podcast. There are some super successful podcasts that only publish daily in a short, newsy type format, kind of keeping up with the issues of the day. And then one of my favorite podcasts to listen to only publishes one episode a month. So you should also allow for growth and change as the podcast evolves, because what you think may be right for the audience may end up not being. And when it comes to frequency, if you guys are old enough to remember must-see TV, you probably recall that it happened on Thursday nights, and it happened on NBC, and it was centered around comedy mega hits like Friends or Seinfeld or Frasier or Will and Grace. And we hurried home to catch them every Thursday night from 8 to 10. And that consistency will also serve you well when it comes to podcasting. You need to set, but more importantly, keep a schedule of new content. If that means daily, weekly, bi-weekly is a little tougher just because it's not as frequent and it's often hard to remember that there's a missing or that there's a blank week in between episodes, or monthly. Your podcast episodes must come out when you say they will. And your schedule is pretty important to keep when it comes to how frequently that happens, because your community that you're working to build and serve is expecting those episodes at the time that you say. Now, in addition to planning the frequency, you're going to probably need to establish a general runtime. This is more for your planning purposes and to kind of share how your podcast works with others. And it can vary from a very short, and the very short episodes are generally very frequent, but it can be a very short episode length of just a few minutes to some of the ridiculously long form episodes that last hours. Regular Hustleberg episodes run between 16 and 25 minutes in length. I aim for 20, and, you know, if I end up a little short or go a little long, no big deal. A history buff friend of mine listens to a podcast whose episodes are a very detailed 3 to 4 hours each week, and they focus on the background leading up to historical events. I don't know how you could possibly spend 3 to 4 hours listening to the background to a historical event, but it's certainly possible. The benefit for those of you who are looking for a little longer show length, Joe Rogan has made the long-form interview format kind of cool again. He allows his guests to go on a much deeper dive in conversation than your typical radio or TV appearance, and that's part of the appeal. You've also seen with Dax Shepard's Armchair Expert podcast, he's kind of adopted the same thing. It's a long-form interview where you're actually talking about things of substance and not just trying to promote your latest endeavor. Rogan's episodes almost never come in under an hour, and some go longer than 5. So your podcast needs to be adding value to the audience consistently and sustainably within the confines of the topics you cover. And that's going to help you define the runtime for your episodes. And you're going to be able to attract a core group of subscribers. These core listeners should grow with some consistency as your podcast continues. You'll need to feature some content, whether it's a guest or a topic, that's going to attract some casual listeners that will appreciate your topics. But most importantly, you are building a relationship with your subscribers and these casual listeners, and the best way to keep building it is by creating content that adds value for them. Finally, the popularity of a podcast can depend on the interactivity of the hosts, listeners, and maybe even guests. And you need to be considering how you want to engage and interact within that bubble, both within the podcast and on social media. Listeners will want to share their thoughts on your content, and you should consider how to create the community necessary to hold that conversation. I started the beginning of talking about what you needed to have in order to make money on a podcast by pointing out that all of this takes time. Like in life, there is no overnight success in podcasting. Even celebrities new to the medium need to prove that they can produce episodes consistently. We are all creatures of habit, and we like knowing that our entertainment, education, or escape with a podcast will be available to us on a regular basis. To tackle Steve's second question, the how question, how does one make money podcasting? The most prevalent revenue method for free podcasts are to include advertisements and sponsorships into the content of the show. You'll notice that the only advertisement you've heard on Hustleberg comes from the local business person that I'm interviewing or for the services we offer at Beyond Your Side Hustle, like our Getting Started Guide or the 3-week series to turn around the engagement of your business's social media marketing. Advertising is still kind of in its infancy in the podcast industry because advertisers aren't totally sure what they're paying for, and the podcast hosts aren't really sure how to price the advertising or sponsorship of the podcast or a podcast episode. Generally, this is operated kind of along the same lines as terrestrial radio ads, where you buy time to air your ad during the podcast and pay according to the size of the listenership. Until a recent drive for uniformity, though, of podcast download counts, as we've seen the recent adoption of the IAB lab standards, the size of the audience was rather nebulous and differed from podcast hosting service to podcast hosting service. This method of monetization through advertising is definitely not going away anytime soon, and you'll hear a little bit more about that later because it benefits creators of all size, though it definitely benefits the more popular creators than the smaller ones. Podcast patrons are probably a higher revenue option than advertising, though, for creators that are smaller in size. Recruiting patrons further stratifies your listeners with a new class of listener that directly supports the podcast monetarily. Usually this is done through a recurring monthly pledge of support where fans of the podcast set that level, or you have certain incentives, you get certain things for certain levels. This can be done directly through a podcast hosting service. Podbean, who is our podcast host, offers a patron program to creators based on their subscription. If you don't necessarily want to go with your podcast host, thinking you might need to have some portability, you can utilize a service like Patreon. It's probably the most well-known service that implements a patron-level tier of listener. Now, you're probably wondering, why would someone pay for a free podcast? Usually, it's because the creator asked them to. There are costs that are associated with podcasting. There's the hosting service, there's the equipment, sometimes there's travel, not to mention all of the time that the creator puts into working on each episode. Generally, it's a digital version of busking musicians, those who play music in hopes of receiving money from passersby on the street. Podcast creators will actually try to grow this patron tier of listener by offering something special at certain levels of patronage. Often that includes gated content like exclusive extra episodes. It can also give VIP or special access or interactions with the podcast or the host itself. Often it can also include an exclusive community of patron-only interactions with other superfans. It kind of reminds me of the freemium model that we see with a lot of software and app offerings where the basic use is free, but expanded features or functionalities cost more in the premium version. Another way that you can monetize the podcast that you're creating is through merchandise. Things like stickers or shirts or hats or mugs or whatever, something that's relevant to both your audience and the show itself. People like to exhibit who they are through what they like, and merchandise for a podcast is no different than you would see people sporting things for a band or a TV show. And this is something that popular shows are going to be able to generate a significant amount of revenue to support their podcasting efforts through creation of this merch for fans of the show. Another thing that has become a little more relevant recently is an exclusivity for a podcast. In other episodes of this podcast and on social media, I've pointed to the exclusive deals inked by Spotify a lot. They've made some pretty big moves, specifically the exclusive deal for Joe Rogan starting in 2021, the Michelle Obama podcast, which started last month, and the DC comic stories that they are that they've optioned and licensed so that they can create there specifically on Spotify. These things indicate to me that they want to be a network for closed podcasts. They aren't the first to try to make the closed podcast model work. Recently, we saw Luminary do something similar in the last 2 years or so. They're much smaller. They don't have the music background and the marketing ability that you would see from a Spotify. Luminary has signed several B or C level celebrities to produce podcasts exclusively on their network. But their app also offers open podcasts for free, very similar to what Spotify is doing. Now, what Spotify's done is they've inked deals to be the exclusive home of some of these really high-profile shows, and they're going to use their existing advertising infrastructure and the subscription model that they already have in place for music, where they're going to arrange the advertising themselves, very similar to what you see with network television. Whether this is a success for Spotify in this endeavor with the gatekeeper behavior that they're trying to create with the closed podcast, success remains to be seen, but the presence of advertising, like we talked about before, is not going anywhere. This is just this is the big time popular creator way of making sure that you're able to monetize the podcast that you've created. And it's probably the best outcome for a podcast creator because the model only requires that you create content, leaving all the distribution and advertising and marketing to the network that you're on. Finally, joining a network, this is more in an open podcast way rather than a closed gatekeeper thing that Spotify is doing, is another way to make money through podcasting. There are plenty of networks like Wondery or Barstool Sports or Radiotopia that operate on a hybrid model of an open podcast distributed widely, but they kind of remove the need for podcast creators to do the work that Spotify and other exclusive networks will to generate the revenue. And basically, they just license your show and you are creating and not having to worry about some of the more non-creative ways to support the podcast. So this week, I shared an article on Hustleberg's LinkedIn page that confirmed my thoughts on what Spotify's recent moves mean for the podcast space. And in this episode, I've used a lot of terminology about open, closed, and free podcasts. So this is probably the best time to discuss what some of those terms mean. And so I've included Maria's question where she asks, what's the difference between open, closed, and free podcasts? Well, looking at free podcasts, I think that's pretty self-explanatory. It doesn't cost anything monetarily to listen to them. They're the largest type of podcast because of how easily distributed digital audio content is and has been. Like most free things, the consumer is what's being sold, and in many cases, this means their ears are sold to the advertisers. Since we started listening to podcasts, podcasts are basically what we've been accustomed to, aside from a luminary or what Spotify is trying to do. And free podcasts can be then segmented into open or closed. So open podcasts are podcasts that anyone can publish and anyone can listen to. They are based on and distributed through RSS technology. We'll actually talk about that in the final question here of this episode. Open podcasts have the widest distribution, and listeners subscribe to them through their preferred podcast player. For new listeners to Hustleberg, we'd really appreciate you subscribing, whether you listen on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, CastBox, Spotify, or whatever your favorite player is. You can even listen to Hustleberg now on your Alexa and Google Home devices. Honestly, I'd be surprised if there is a player or listening option where you couldn't find this show. Now, when it comes to open podcasts, for creators, the biggest benefit of this wide net that you cast with the open podcast idea is that listeners are not locked into a specific app. So as we watch what happens with Spotify, Luminary, and others, there may be enough disruption in the industry that someone supplants Apple as the distributor of podcasts. And until we know this new winning platform, creators are still going to be able to distribute their podcasts to all of them, especially smaller creators that aren't part of a closed podcast network. Now, closed podcasts, shows like the Joe Rogan Experience or the Michelle Obama Podcast and some of the others that are Spotify exclusives, are closed podcasts. These shows do not have a public feed like an open podcast that you can just subscribe to with any app. They are defined and kind of held back into a single app like we've talked about with Spotify or Luminary. Now, the smart thing that these platforms that are using or trying to create exclusive content have done is they also serve the open podcast content, creating kind of a hybrid so that you're not faced with the dilemma of missing out on content that that platform doesn't serve. Currently, this is something that we're kind of seeing in the video streaming services where you would miss content on Netflix because you only subscribe to Disney+. The combination of open and closed podcasts on the same platform kind of removes the barrier of committing to only one podcast or network over time. Our final question comes from Daniel, and I'm going to be answering this as an open podcast content creator. How do you distribute your podcast? So open podcasts like Hustleberg are distributed via RSS feeds. RSS stands for Really Simple Syndication. And these are similar to kind of news aggregators, the apps on your phone that just kind of will collect and serve you the content that they think is interesting to you. And you'll have to click through to actually see the article. I generally think of things like the Google app or the Apple News app. Those kind of things are news aggregators. They operate in a very similar manner to how open podcasts are distributed. Today, distributing a podcast is so much easier than it used to be. Often, the hosting service that you've chosen for your podcast does a lot of the heavy lifting. They create the RSS feeds and they push them out to the various outlets. Podbean, like I said, they're the host for Hustleberg, connects each creator with any platform you want to distribute on. Setting up for the major players like Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Spotify are generally only a couple mouse clicks and maybe a copy and paste or two away, while lesser-known podcast services, things like Pandora or TuneIn, Alexa, Amazon Music is now getting into the podcast game, Stitcher, Deezer, Listen Notes, and iHeartRadio, they can be a little bit more involved as you introduce your podcast to their app or their server because they generally require registration and providing a feed address to them rather than having it directly served just through your podcast hosting service. Now, for the Overcast, Pocket Cast, CastBox, and Castro, your Apple Podcast setup is just going to push your podcast to those apps automatically without any extra effort on your part. And most of the hosting services are going to walk you through setting all of these things up from the Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify to some of the lesser known players. They're going to be able to walk you through getting all that set up. Now, I do want to share a word about setting up your show on Apple Podcasts. It is not a quick process, but it's also not difficult. You will need to have an Apple ID. You'll need to have a completed episode, which can be just your preview trailer, and you're going to be waiting for approval before your podcast will be distributed there on Apple Podcasts. Again, not difficult, but lengthy. For example, with Hustleberg, I intended to publish the first episode on January 2nd, 2020. I was able to meet that, but I started setting up with the preview in mid-December to make sure that the launch went smoothly for episode one. And if you remember, episode one was an interview with Sheila Lake of Lake Law Firm PA. Now, once you have the feeds distributed to the various apps and platforms, nothing else is going to be required on your part for distribution. With each episode, a podcast creator shares by adding the episode to their feed, and their podcast hosting service will push it out to the various channels. Podcast hosting servers generally provide an editor that's a what you see is what you get as you're typing in, linking to things to create your show notes. It allows you to upload the art and the audio file, as well as scheduling an episode's release to make this process as painless as possible. Honestly, I'm really impressed with how easy the podcast hosting services like Fireside FM and Podbean make it to share your podcast once you've set up with all the platforms. Obviously, if you embark on a closed podcast or one with patronage levels, this is going to be a little different for the content that you create, and all of that is going to depend on the network or the Patreon or Patreon-like service that you choose. You did it! You've just listened to Hustleberg. To thank you for listening, we're helping you reach ideal engagement on any social media platform in a 3-week training available at beyondyoursidehustle.com/3weeks. See how you can change your feed to serve you, start engaging on social the right way, and create a community around you and your business. Speaking of businesses, if you're a small business owner in St. Pete and you'd like to be a guest on an episode of the podcast, let us know at beyondyoursidehustle.com/podcastguest. If you got something of value from this podcast, please take a moment to subscribe, rate, and review on your favorite podcast player. This is something small that you can do to help us shine the spotlight on all the great businesses St. Pete has to offer. The music in this episode is Defining Your Dreams by my friend Rhymer Educator. On May 28th, he released a mixtape entitled Quentin Quarantino about loneliness during the COVID-19 pandemic, and I encourage you to check it out on Spotify, iTunes, or wherever you listen to great music. Thanks so much for listening, and we look forward to sharing with you how we do business in the Berg.